You are surrounded by heroes of the faith. They're overseas in persecuted countries, and they have life-changing spiritual insights to share with you. Welcome to Into the Deep, a podcast with Jeff King, president of International Christian Concern.
Hey everybody, hopefully you're not coming to this without having listened to part one with Rashid. Rashid is the greatest evangelist in the Middle East, possibly in history, but he's definitely the greatest one you've never heard of. Fascinating character, has brought so many people to Christ in the Middle East. Listen, we're getting ready for part two. He's going to talk about what's going on, what is the Lord doing in Algeria, Morocco, Egypt, Iraq, and he's also going to explain the miraculous effect of satellite TV and how the Lord has used this, probably second only to dreams and visions. The Lord is calling people out of the Middle East to Jesus, and he's going to break that down for you. Remember, listen to Rashid, greatest evangelist you've never heard of.
So let's talk about, I mentioned before about how, if you talk to the old timers, and I gave the two hands, how many Christians do you know in your country?
Yeah.
And it's different now.
Yeah, very different.
And the Lord is doing something. People just know about the bad news.
Yeah.
But the Lord has been doing something powerful, and he's absolutely fundamentally used satellite TV. And then there's the dreams and visions, just showing that there's some move.
Yeah.
And it's the end times you'd figure. I mean, the Lord is just moving throughout the earth, and he wants his bride.
Yeah.
And that's what I always say. She's captured by Islam, and he wants her, and he'll have her. Mm. And there's nothing that's going to stop him. But let's talk about what has changed. What's going on in the Middle East? I know that's a huge topic with a whole bunch of facets. Just go ahead and let's talk about it.
Middle East and North Africa, they are changing very fast recently. Mm. The whole region is boiling.
Yeah.
So
that's a good picture.
Regimes are not stable.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen in 2011, and another wave is happening now in Sudan and Algeria and other places. And I don't think it will stop any sooner.
Okay.
So that's from one side. So politically, there are so many changes that are happening. In Egypt, you saw it with the Muslim Brotherhood taking over. Mm-hmm. Revolution first, Muslim Brotherhood, then the al-Sisi regime, and still, it didn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
In Yemen, you can see it's a failed state so far.
Mm-hmm.
In Libya, it's a failed state.
Yeah.
In Syria, it's divided. It's a failed state somehow. Yeah. Still, they are not in control of the whole country.
Yeah.
In Iraq, it's divided. It's the Shiite and the Sunni, and there are the Muslim radical groups as well. So it's really, really a very devastating state for the whole region.
Yes.
But on the positive side, people are changing as well.
Okay.
So once, in the old days, we had dictators, we had one national TV, and we had no access to information.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's what the state tells us is the truth.
That's right.
Is the truth.
That's right.
And we should believe them, we want it or not. So, with the internet, with satellite, with these regimes changing, so there is a huge flow of information coming into these countries.
Mm-hmm.
So people started questioning their faith, started asking the basic questions, who is God? Why he is not intervening in our lives? Is this our religion? Because they see ISIS and they see the beheadings and they see all these killings. This is not what we want for our lives, for our kids.
Most people cannot buy into that.
No. I don't want to be identified with these guys.
That's right.
So if that's my religion,
that's right,
on the ground, I don't want it.
I'm at a fork in the road.
Yes.
Yeah, that happened over and over.
So all these things happening at the same time. So there is a faith revolution happening in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a crisis. And people... And actually, there was a recent study done by BBC.
Okay.
It's called the barometer, the Arab barometer, I think. It's
okay, Arab barometer.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So it's it shows there is a decline on the number of religious people.
Yeah.
So people are rejecting religion.
Yes.
And when we say that, we are talking about Islam, because
right.
Christians there are
of course.
Very tiny minority there.
Yeah.
So people are rejecting Islam.
Yep.
So, and the cause is all these elements.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Middle Easterns are spiritual by their nature.
That's right.
That's where religions were born.
That's
the
right.
main religions, the Judaism,
yeah.
Christianity,
yeah.
and Islam. So they want some alternatives.
Mm.
So this is the golden age for Christians to present the gospel in Christ
yeah.
as the Savior.
Yeah.
Because these people are struggling, really struggling.
Yeah, yeah.
And people are looking for answers.
Okay.
And Christians can provide that to them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a golden opportunity for people to preach the gospel. And I think I'm thankful for God because I came in the right time.
Yeah.
It is always the right time, but this is like an exceptional opportunity
yeah.
in history. Nothing similar happened in
mm-hmm.
Islamic history.
That's right. That's
for
right.
1400
Ever.
Years.
Period.
Never.
Yeah.
So there is a huge movement happening,
mm-hmm.
and I think God orchestrated the whole movement through different events that are happening politically,
yes.
economically,
yes.
spiritually, the
yes.
dreams and visions, and all
yes.
coming together to lead the Muslim world to a certain direction.
Yeah.
And I think Christianity and Christ can change the region.
Mm.
I believe it from the bottom of my heart. Actually,
yes.
I was in a conference, and some people were trying to sell all kind of theories how we can reform the region
yes,
and reform
yes,
Islam.
Yes, yes.
And they didn't believe that Christ is the solution for the region.
Yes.
They made fun of it, actually.
Oh my gosh.
And I said, I believe he can.
Yeah.
And they said, well, I mean, one of the questions, why you're so confident? I said, because whoever can change one heart can change millions of hearts.
Mm-hmm.
He changed me, and he changed others.
And you've been changing people. The
yes.
Lord's been working through. You've seen it.
Yes, thousands of
That's
them.
That's right.
So I have seen it happening in front of
yeah.
my eyes. So it can happen to everybody else.
Yeah. And maybe what you're touching on is, I've spoken about this a lot and I wrote about it, but you know, after 9/11, the government, so this is my theory, it's more than theory, I've talked to people, but you know, the government said, we have a big problem.
Yeah.
Islam is radicalized. The Saudis were mainly in charge of that over 30 years.
Yeah.
They use oil money to radicalize the world's Muslims all over. And then fundamentally, there's just the problem of Islam. So the government then has a problem. What do we do? If you smack Islam head on, it's a hornet's nest.
Yeah.
And Islam comes together and they start fighting. So
yeah.
In my mind, they came out with a very flawed, weak plan, and it's Islam is a religion of peace propaganda
yeah.
program.
Yeah.
And trying to moderate Islam, trying to modernize
yeah.
it,
yeah.
which can happen, but it's a very slow, and there's just real inherent problems in it.
Yeah.
And it's fighting a tide of money that's insane on the other side, the radicalization. So I'm assuming that might be what you're talking about when you reference that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, there are so many floating ideas
yes.
around there about how to
yes.
contain the
yes.
the Islamic invasion of many countries,
yes.
Especially these radical ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that only a change of heart can
yes.
change the region.
Yeah. And fundamentally, you have such a problem because I'm trying to think the writer I interviewed when I was doing my first book. And he describes Islam as, you know, a great elephant, and there's the beauty and the majesty and the size and the weight, but there are the tusks, and the tusks are dangerous. And the problem is that every generation that comes up, you can see there are some attractive parts to Islam. There's an adherence to God, there's a calling to holiness, etc.
Yes.
And you can say, ooh, that's a good thing. But there's always the violence. And the violence came from the founder, and it was encoded in the holy books, and you just cannot
yeah.
get away from that. And
no.
if you unless you have a fundamentalist mindset. So we're fundamentalists.
Yes.
We're fundamentalists for Christ.
Yeah.
We understand that. And if you don't have a fundamentalist mindset, you're going to have a flawed theory. You're not going to understand.
That's right.
And you see so much of flawed theory and planning and programs coming from the government because they don't understand it. They don't understand really religious people. So, but anyway, so the Middle East is boiling. Things are happening. Let's just touch on a couple countries. What's give people the big picture. What's happened in Iran over the last 30, 40 years?
Well, Iran, after the Iranian Revolution or the 79, when the mullahs became the real leaders of the country, the Iranians saw that the paradise that they promised them was not delivered. And actually, the religious leadership are corrupt, and they are dictators. And the worse than that, they are doing it in the name of God.
That's right.
So there is a huge wave of atheism sweeping the country. That's one of the aftermath of the revolution.
Yeah.
The second is a huge wave of Christians as well.
That's right.
People are leaving the Islamic faith and following Christ because they see love. They see humbleness. They see the spirit of sacrificing and loving one another is not enforcing these laws on people and forcing them to wear certain clothes and go to certain places, not to do certain things. And so it's like their liberties are there is no freedom, actually.
It's love versus law. Yeah.
Yes. So many young people are leaving Islam, and they are looking for alternatives as well. And that's why the gospel is so popular now in Iran.
Yeah.
So many Iranians, and I interviewed some of them. They are coming to Christ in huge numbers.
Yeah.
It's not like it's a phenomenon.
Yeah, I mean it's a massive it's a massive movement.
Yes.
And let's switch to Egypt, and I tie these two together.
Yeah.
There's an interesting tie-in because you think about the Brotherhood had their moment in the sun, and yet the populace of Egypt had watched what happened in Iran.
Yes.
So I think you get that line of reasoning and thought. Tie those two together and talk about that.
Well,
with the Brotherhood.
The Muslim Brotherhood, since 1928, they were promising people to bring back the caliphate to this idea that Islam is the solution. Actually, that's their slogan. Islam is the solution. And they want to solve everything by bringing back Muslims to Sharia. So when the revolution happened in Egypt, they had their chance, their historical chance to prove and govern and show people what they were talking about.
Yes.
And fortunately, and it was expected actually from my side, because I know Islam is not the solution. Islam is the problem.
Right.
So when they governed, they found out they cannot deliver what they were promising. They could not give people the freedom. They could not stop corruption. They could
You're talking about the Iranian.
No, the
You're talking about
Muslim Brotherhood. They took for 1 year. I mean, they
grabbed power very violently. We're shutting down freedom everywhere, right?
Everywhere. And they started because they want to do it quickly because they know there is resistance. So they started.
And they had waited so long.
Yeah.
They had their moment.
They had their moment. So they jumped on it.
Yes.
But they started changing the country so quickly. They couldn't wait because there are risks.
That's right.
So they started putting Muslim Brotherhood elements everywhere.
Yes.
And removing other people from their...
shutting down the judges, shutting down the press.
Yes. And the army, everything.
That's right. Gutting the
Secret
army.
Secret services.
Everything.
So purging them from those who resist the Muslim Brotherhood and putting their own loyalists there.
Yes.
And people saw what's happening.
Yes.
So there was a huge fear that the whole country will go to the Iranian style. mm-hmm. on a Sunni side. Mm-hmm. And so the army actually intervened. Al-Fatah mm-hmm. al-Sisi represented an army mm-hmm. and they just intervened and removed mm-hmm. them from power. Mm-hmm. We are glad that happened because the country could have went really just the wrong direction.
It looked like a disaster, yeah. Without government helping him along the way.
I'm not satisfied right now with what's happening in Egypt.
Yeah.
Sisi is a dictator.
Yeah.
He's not a reformer.
Yeah.
And he's not a freedom lover or freedom fighter or a freedom hero.
Yeah.
But some Egyptians, they say, well, he was the best or the lesser evil.
That's right.
The best of the options we had.
That's right.
So we had no other choice.
Mm-hmm.
So but I still believe Egypt deserved better.
Yes.
And I'm sure change is coming.
Yeah. Well, you look in the scriptures for both of those countries, for Iran and for Egypt, and the scripture says something about the future of these countries. And the Lord said more than 1,000 years ago, he said, these countries in the end times are going to turn to me.
Yeah.
And they Iran is called Elam, and in Egypt, they will turn to him and see.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. It's just the Lord is moving. What else? What's going on with Syria and Iraq? And you look at the number of Christians that were in these countries and now what's happened. Talk about that dynamic and the you kind of touched on it, but what the effect that ISIS has had.
The most I get my audience coming from actually few countries. I can name them. I have a huge audience, but I can put the first 4 or 5 countries.
Okay.
Algeria is the first one, actually.
Wow.
Yeah. Morocco is the second.
Okay.
Egypt is the third.
Okay.
And Iraq is the fourth. So these countries are actually the top of the list.
Yeah.
And I can understand why. There are reasons behind that. So it's a logical thing. It's not just, of course, there is the spiritual side of it, but mm-hmm. there is a logical side of it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at Algeria, they had their own ISIS in the 90s.
Okay.
So
that's right.
Yeah, but
huge uprising, civil war.
Yes, and Islamic
deadly.
Groups.
Yes.
But people, because we didn't have coverage
back
in the day, so they were not exposed as ISIS.
That's right.
But they were as bad as ISIS.
That's right.
And they killed people.
How many deaths? Was it 300? It was massive, right?
Yeah, it's massive.
Yeah.
There are different numbers out there, but it was huge.
Yeah.
Like, thousands of people got killed. And so they started turning away from Islam,
mm-hmm.
especially the Berbers.
That's right.
And they started looking for alternatives.
Mm.
And they found what they are looking for in the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So the gospel, it just spread in a miraculous way, and especially in the Berber side, the Kabyle. And they became Christians. Now, many villages are Christians
mm-hmm.
following that movement.
Mm-hmm.
So the same thing I can say about Iraq.
Yeah.
Why there is a huge change? Because of ISIS. Mm-hmm. So ISIS gave them a window to look at Islam in practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes you have this idealistic view of Islam,
that's
projection
right.
of your own feelings. People
yes.
are nice, though. They
yes.
think Islam is nice.
Yes.
But they don't know what Islam is because we are separated like 1,400 years
that's
ago.
Right.
We don't know what happened.
They don't really know who Muhammad is. Most Muslims don't know
who
he
was. No, they have this rose picture about
that's right.
him. Like he's a peaceful, loving...
Like
it's
Jesus.
Like a,
yeah.
a Christ.
That's
Christ.
Right. Yeah.
A Christ figure, but he's not.
That's right.
He wasn't.
No.
So you cannot paint him as Christ. No matter what you do, it would be like a makeup on a pig.
That's right.
So it's never going to reflect his own biography. If you
yes.
go back to his biography, you find
yeah.
the truth about him. So they started looking at the text and comparing what ISIS is doing with the text.
Mm-hmm.
And they see it as real.
Wait a minute. This is what was commanded.
Exactly. There is not a single thing that ISIS did Muhammad didn't do.
That's right.
So people got shocked. And now there is a massive movement among Iraqis turning to Christ.
Mm.
In Morocco, I can understand because I'm Moroccan.
That's right.
And also, there's a huge movement among Moroccans. They want their freedom. Religious freedom didn't exist in Morocco. Mm-hmm. So when people start asking about basic rights, we want the right to choose. Mm-hmm. We want to have the right to be whatever we want.
Yeah.
So they started looking for alternatives, and of course Christianity is the first thing they can look for. Mm-hmm. And media and TV programs provided that for them. So that's why we see so many Moroccans coming to Christ.
Yeah.
Egypt is the same thing. Because Christians were not allowed, and still they are not allowed to preach the gospel.
That's
there.
Right.
The Copts especially.
That's right. Can't build a church. Can't repair a church.
You can't do anything almost. Yeah. You just stay as you are.
That's right.
And the privileges are given to Muslims.
That's right.
If somebody want to convert to Islam,
he's
encouraged to do so.
That's right.
And actually, they give him some benefits. Mm-hmm. And if you, the other way around is not accepted, actually he will face so many problems. Mm-hmm. Jail is one of them, persecution, mm-hmm. and probably death. Mm-hmm. So this mentality continued during Mubarak, during Muslim Brotherhood, even during the Sisi era.
Yeah.
But media is changing all of that. People are coming to Christ secretly. Mm-hmm. They are gathering in homes. Mm-hmm. They are getting baptized. Mm-hmm. They are getting their studies and their discipleship, even away from the church, from the institutions.
Yep.
Because they don't want to cause them problems, and they don't want to be harmed as well by secret services.
That's right.
So there is a huge movement happening underground, and I believe the coming years we will see a massive change in Middle East and North Africa.
Yeah.
And I believe that the triumph of the gospel and the message of Christ will be seen.
We're going to see it unfold.
Yes, in front of our eyes.
You know, just on this ISIS discussion, it really struck me. I was speaking a couple years back with the head of the largest church in the Middle East. I asked him about ISIS, and he said, "ISIS is the evangelist. I am the baptizer," which is just echoing. It's very clever.
It's a good way to put it.
You can use it.
And, and initially, they did that.
Yes.
Yes. But, they drove people out of Islam to Christ, actually.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah.
By trying to fulfill Islam, by looking at the books and fulfilling. We just haven't been adhering to the books. We need to obey the books. And then look what happened. They drove everybody away from Islam. So you've got some cool new developments in your life. You've started a radio show.
Yes.
Which is a departure. Talk to me about that. Why a radio show, and where is it, and why?
Radio show, especially in Michigan and the areas there, because there's a huge Muslim population there. And actually, they call it Little Iraq.
Yes.
Because all the signs are in Arabic, and you go there, and you don't need to speak English, actually, and they're born in those places. So you just talk Arabic. And if you are in a red light, you just turn left or right, you will find Iraqis around you. So and actually it's so there is a huge need for the gospel there. And we need to challenge the Muslim worldview. The in the West they are enjoying so much freedom, and it's an opportunity for Christians to use that freedom to preach the gospel as well.
The Lord has brought them here. Let's reach them
next door.
There's no danger. We can reach them.
So we started this program. A pastor, an Arab pastor there, he said, "I see there is a huge need, and you." I was thinking, who can do it? And I thought of you. You will be the right person to do it. Can you join us? And I said, "Gladly, I can do that." So I, it's easier than TV because I can do it wherever I am.
That's right. Yeah.
So audio.
Yeah.
And when we started in April. And now, a few months later, it's really picking up.
That's
and
great.
People are calling. It's live calling program. Yeah. Muslims are calling. They have like objections. They have questions. And actually, we had one story that somebody called, and then he turned out to be an Iraqi, and he just said, I was following you on TV for 3 years, and now I'm ready to accept Christ. So we prayed with him, and after that, I was traveling somewhere else, and then I managed to meet him and baptize him and connect him with a local church. So it's amazing how God is using media. I came through radio.
That's right.
So I believe
it's God, going back to your roots.
Exactly.
Now, by the way, you just told that story. Isn't that a guy that had been threatening to kill you, or am I mixing him up with another?
No, okay. It's not the same guy.
There's plenty of those.
Oh, there are plenty of those. You will always find them.
And are you getting any love mail from the Muslim population in Detroit?
Yes, some of them are mad. They start writing articles against us, and also they start mixing. This is a problem. They try to call us Islamophobes, bigots.
Yes. Trying to shut down discourse, discussion.
Yeah, paint you as you hate people. That's you right. You are racist.
That's right.
Well, I'm not racist. I mean, my whole family. I was a Muslim. And
right.
My family was Muslim.
Everything's on the table to talk about in America.
Yes.
You can talk about, you can criticize Christianity.
Yes.
We need to be free to talk about things and discuss and argue and debate.
And Islam is not a race.
It's not race. Could have sworn it was a religion.
It's an ideology. So
that's true. It was more than,
If you want to criticize a set of ideas, how is that a hatred?
I always find that amusing when you get called a racist for that.
Yeah. I would be like, okay, Islam is a set of ideas.
Yeah.
And I have the right to criticize them.
Yeah.
And otherwise, we will if we can't criticize anything,
yeah,
then we can't do anything.
That's right.
Some people started realizing that. And I tell them, we love Muslims.
Yeah.
But we are not going to love Islam because we love Muslims.
That's different, yeah.
So don't tell me I have to love your religion.
That's right.
In order to love you.
Yeah, Islam is the trap.
Yes.
It was a trap that was set up to keep people in prison spiritually.
Exactly.
And so we love the Muslim, we say, but we're going to reach them. And to do that, you have to have real debate. You have to have real discussion.
Yes.
It's not violent. But we're going to be honest.
It's respectful,
we're going to discuss.
With love.
Yes. That's kind of been the mark. That's always been your mark that you really stood out.
Yes. Yeah. And I always insist on mentioning that.
Yes.
I always say I love Muslims. Yeah. I respect them.
Yeah.
But I don't agree, and I have the right to criticize their religion.
Of course, yeah.
And actually, it's doing them a favor because they are victims of their own religion. And loving them actually is giving them a hand so they can get out of that trap, as you said.
Yeah.
And we have seen a success so far. Thousands are following, even on YouTube. We recorded and put it on YouTube and on Facebook. So it's picking up, and I believe it can change that area, Michigan, Dearborn, and those places.
And the station, tell me if I'm wrong, it's WNZK, and it's on AM 680, 690, WNZK.
Yes.
And
it's every Wednesday, 4 o'clock local time.
Okay. And is there a name to the show?
Yes, it's called Speaking Frankly.
Speaking Frankly.
Yeah.
Okay. That's another one of your marks.
Yeah. So
as we've seen in this interview.
Yeah. You need to be frank with
people. That's right. That's right. I think you've got that down.
Yeah.
Well, brother, it has been a joy. It always is to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
I may have to follow up.
Brother Jeff,
we're about to go to a conference and speak together, so we're going to get booted out of here. But.
Yes.
Anyways, I could go on and on for hours.
Yeah.
And just love you. Love what you're doing.
Thank you so much.
Everyone pray for this brother. He's amazing and God's really used him.
Please.
He's just an amazing man.
Thank you.
So
God bless you all.
All right, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Into the Deep, the Persecution Podcast. Check out our website, www.persecution.org, for more breaking news about the persecuted church and resources to serve your persecuted family. Head into the deep and be transformed by the persecuted, as we have.